This reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I truly tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Here ends our reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Thanks be to God for his challenge to his faithful people.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us into community to be the Church of Jesus Christ in this day and age. Help us, O God, rather than clinging to old ways and old traditions, to be bold and brave, to create a vision of what your church can be, not only for today, but for the future. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about this church lately. I suppose my thinking was partly precipitated by that little hole in the wall that happened over the summer. But really, it began before that. I guess it's no coincidence that I have, with only one exception, worked in churches with a strong sense of their history. Churches with magnificent pipe organs. Churches that have a clear sense of their roots and also of their place in the community. All of this to say, I have always had a real fondness for the churches I have served. And when I first came to St. John's for an interview, your beautiful Celtic cross spoke to me. Your name itself was a sign to me. We talked about the Holy Spirit last week. As John's Gospel is my favorite and was that of my father as well. And your fondness for good music feeds my own musical soul. And the sense of the history you value is so rich and deep here at St. John's. Sometimes I like to sit in the sanctuary when no one is here. And I picture the balconies that used to wrap around almost to the chancel. And I picture them full of people, full of grandparents and parents and teens and babies. You remember those days, right? I think most of us experienced them. Those were the post-war days when our churches were so full, we built more churches. You know that history right here in Oakville, I know. Everyone went to church in those days, right? It was just what one did. Your neighbors all went, your friends all went, your families all went. When new people moved into town, the question wasn't, do you go to church? The question was, where do you go to church? Because everyone did. Man, those were the good old days in the church, weren't they? But here's the question. If those were the good old days in the church, then why is it that most of the children who grew up in the church in those good old days, no longer attend church, nor do their children. I take this very personally, as I include my own family in those statistics. I'm the only one of my siblings who attends church. None of my children darken the door. And my soon-to-be-born grandson. Did I mention I'm going to be a Nana? I don't know if I've told you that. Maybe even this week. I'm not excited or anything. In fact, I was just checking my phone, you know, just to see if there was any news. But that dear grandson will not be brought up in the church either. So if those days in the 50s and 60s, those days of packed churches and balanced budgets and church growth, if they were so good, then why did the children of that generation and their children turn away from the church? And what is it as we move to the future that might possibly re-engage them in the institution we so cherish? I know as I think of my own children, the three things that have engaged them in their adult life so far are a Habitat for Humanity build, where two of them were able to offer their skills, a recent refugee sponsorship, which made two of them rethink their criticism of the institution, and then our Seder meal this past spring when my youngest son's Jewish girlfriend led us through a traditional Seder liturgy. And I think the common theme you see in those things is that of a church that exists not for the comfort and reassurance of its own people, but a church that exists to reach out beyond its doors for the good of others in need of love and care. A church that embraces diversity and welcomes all people with open arms and hearts. At the preaching conference this past spring, there was a strong theme of the need for change in our institution. And Walter Brueggemann, who is my absolute favorite preacher and theologian, reminded us of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Stop looking to the past with longing and nostalgia. Look to the future and ask yourself, what is this new thing that God wills to do in our midst as the Church of Jesus Christ?" And from the prophet Micah, he says, comes the answer that our walk of faithfulness is a journey to do justice in the name of our God. And so my question for each one of us here at St. John's as faithful members of this church and also collectively as a body of believers is, what will we do and be as we move to the future so that we are relevant to a new generation? What will we do and be so that the love and light of Christ will shine more brightly in a darkened world? I think we all acknowledge that the post-war church needed to be a church of comfort and hope for a people who had been shaken to the core. That church needed to be a place where those who were traumatized by participation in the war could come to make sense of the horror and perhaps find forgiveness for deeds they never thought they would commit. It needed to be a place where mothers who had lost sons and wives who had lost husbands could find renewed hope in a God who walked with them through the pain and brokenness. That was the church of that generation, and I think it did a fine job of fulfilling its role for the healing of our society. And you all know we've redesigned and redefined ourselves a few times since those days. I'm sure you all remember in the 80s, we took on the issue of gay ordination. And we will finish that piece of business soon in this congregation as we find the time and the way to talk about gay marriage. As a national church, we've done an excellent job of tackling many social issues, and we have taken more than our share of criticism for that from more mainstream denominations. And so now the challenge for us as a national church, but perhaps even more importantly, as St. John's in Oakville, is who will we be for the future? What message will we choose to share with our community, and how will we live out the faith which we cherish and value? I think we've partly already answered those questions for ourselves as we continue our relationship with the family we welcomed from Syria a year ago. Part of our answer comes in the way that I watch all of you embrace newcomers, making a place for all people when some churches only have a place for those who fit perfectly into their midst. We said in our visioning process 4 years ago that we are strongly committed to being a neighborhood church, striving to meet the needs of the community and the world in which we live. And so the time is here, I think, to take that seriously and to consider very carefully how we want to brand ourselves for a new generation. Because perhaps now more than ever, we need to be deliberate and we need to be relevant. A few other words of wisdom from that preaching conference this spring. Whatever happens to our organizations in the future, their work will always be the same. To move from religion organized for self-preservation to religion organized to do good in the world. We're on our way here at St. John's. We have the goals, and I think we have the passion. Let's not lose sight of the work we have to do, not just here within our own four walls, but in the community and in the world beyond. Thanks be to God for the Church of Jesus Christ and this church, the church we call home.